Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 20th year now bringing these broadcasts to you. And we thank the Lord for all the good messages He has given us. We thank the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and support. And most of all for you, the listener. And we thank the Lord for all of the dedicated listeners that we've had over 20 years. If you've been with us all that time, we thank you. We appreciate you. And if this is your first time listening today, we welcome you. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about part four on our series on faith, great faith. God wants you to have great faith. He gives you the mustard seed for great faith. And so it is up to us to utilize that faith. And we're going to talk about today what we're to do with the faith that God has given us. So stay tuned for this message. We'll take this up right after our prayer time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We'll get into this message here in just a short minute. Want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. We're working on the septic system of the school that we're building. We're building a primary school out there in Makunda Village, right next to the children's home. We have a big acre of land, and so we're building a primary school, grades 1 through 8, with a preschool for about 200 to 300 children. And this is going to be a big project. It's a big endeavor for this ministry, and we invite you to come alongside, help us. We're going to need some big donations. We're going to need some people that give sacrificial donations. And so we invite you to come alongside this ministry and help us get that school built. Many of the children in Makunda don't go to school after about grade 4 or grade 6. Many of them drop out. Many of them are from Muslim families. And so we want to reach out to them and have them go to a good Christian school where we can teach them the basics of education, but also give them basics of the Christian faith. And so this will be an opportunity not only for education, but an opportunity for evangelism. And it's going to be a great project that will go on for 50 years, 100 years, or until Jesus comes back. So if you have any questions about that, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. We can discuss how you can partner with this ministry to build a school there in Kenya. So today we're going to be talking about Great Faith Part 4, and this is the last of a series in the Great Faith series that we've been preaching. And faith, we found out, is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And so faith is the currency of heaven. You can't see it, but Jesus says the faith that every person has been given is the size of a mustard seed, which is about the size of a dot on a piece of paper, a Bic pen dot on a piece of paper. And so the faith that you have been given, you can do great things for the kingdom of God. And the faith that you've been given was given to you by God so that you would bring glory and honor to Him on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. You can bring glory and honor to Him with your life. And all you have to do is step out and do something small. Start with something small. May even be just come to a place of salvation. That is obtained through faith also. By faith you come to Jesus Christ. By faith you believe. And it will be credited to you as righteousness. And so you have to believe. You have to step out. Start with small things. And then it gets to a place where God will trust you with bigger projects, bigger things, bigger faith journeys, bigger bridges to cross. And so that is faith. And we're going to look at this today as according to what God has for you and how you are to utilize your faith. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Paul makes a great statement here, the Apostle Paul, and he says, "He who calls you is faithful, and he also will do it. Or he who calls you is faithful, and he will see it come to pass. So God is full of faith. When you are lacking faith, trust God, he has faith. When you don't have the faith to go ahead and do whatever God is calling you to do, trust God, he has the faith. You have to believe the word that he has spoken in the Holy Bible. You have to believe it. The Bible says that by the words that God spoke, he created the universe. He created it out of stuff that was not seen, that was not visible. And so it is the same for you. When God gives you an opportunity, God gives you a privilege to bring glory and honor to the kingdom of God, he will give you a vision. He will give you a project that you can do that will bring glory and honor to him. And all you have to do then is step out, because it says he who calls you is faithful. He is full of faith. You can lean on his faith. You can trust on his faith as you build your own, and he will do it. Well, that doesn't mean you just sit on your rocking chair and day after day say, okay, God, you're going to do it. I don't have to do anything. I know you're a sovereign God. I know you're in control. I don't have to do anything. Maybe show up to church once in a while, or maybe listen to a broadcast on the radio or TV once in a while. No, that isn't God's plan for your life or anybody's life. He wants you to step out, get involved with your own life, and do something with that little measure of faith that he has given you. Plant that little mustard seed, put it in the ground, watch it grow, watch it do something to bring glory for the kingdom of God. And so the Bible says he also will do it, or he will see it come to pass, but he wants to work through you. God works through people. God works through men and women and children of God who have committed their life to him. He works through them. Jesus isn't going to come back to the earth and walk in the villages of Kenya. He's not going to go back to the cross and shed his blood again. He works through people that are here, and the kingdom of God, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 9 that the government of Jesus will never end. Well, it never will end, because people get activated, people get motivated, people get excited, people get full of fire, and they go do things that they never thought were possible before they got excited by the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. And so that is God's plan for your life. No matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you've been in your life, God has a plan for you. He wants you to get excited and get started and activate that plan that he has for you, so that you too can be listed in that roll call of faith. And by the way, I would suggest you read that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the roll call of faith, and faith is a substance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. By faith, the elders of old obtained a good testimony. And so you can also obtain a good testimony by the things you do. You step out in faith, and you can have a good testimony. You can have a great testimony. When I come back to the United States, I speak in churches, and I speak over the radio, and I tell of the great and mighty things that God has done here in Africa, has done here in Kenya and other countries where I've been. It is a testimony of the power of God. It's not boasting about myself. It is a testimony of the power of God, and you can do the same in your life. Well, in Ephesians 2:10, same Apostle Paul says, "For we are his workmanship." We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so this passage of Scripture comes right after it says we are saved by grace through faith. And so we are saved not by our good works. It doesn't matter how many good works you do, although it's important. That isn't what saves you. What saves you is the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross to cover your sins, the blood of Jesus that was shed so that your sins will not be counted against you, and you can then stand before God with a clear conscience. That's what saved you. And your confession of faith, that is what you believe. Your confession of faith says, I believe that the blood of Jesus covers my sins. I believe that I am a sinner, that I am saved by grace. And if you believe that, and that Jesus was resurrected after the third day, that he was resurrected, the Bible says, you will be saved. And so that's where your salvation comes from. But that isn't the end of the story. If that were the end of the story, God would just rapture you out right then after you make that confession and are baptized. He would just say, okay, the story's over. Now I'm taking you home. That isn't the end of the story. Then it tells us in 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, brothers and sisters, even before you were born, God had a plan for your life. Even before you were born, even before he knitted you in your mother's womb, God had a plan for your life. He had works prepared for you to do, kingdom works that he wants you to accomplish. He prepared them beforehand, even before you were born. And so that is God's plan for your life. So that begs the question, what are the works that God has for me? What has he prepared for me to do before I was born? Did he speak over my life that I was to be a preacher? Did he speak over my life that I was to be a prophet or an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher? What has God prepared for your life? And again, it doesn't matter what you've been in the past. Maybe you've been, in your eyes, a complete failure. Maybe you've been a drug addict. Maybe you've been a prostitute. Maybe you've been a cheater, a liar. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so that is not going to prevent you from this day forward, stepping forward to do what God has called you to do. That is not going to prevent you from fulfilling this prophetic word spoken over you, that God has prepared beforehand the good works that he wants you to do. And so your job, your mission, your charge is to find out what those good works are, find out what the plan and the purpose for your life is, and get started doing it. We have a purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren would say. We have a purpose-driven life, and when you get excited and discover that purpose-driven life, you can do great things for the kingdom of God, and God will be pleased with your life. And when you get to heaven and stand before Jesus, he'll say, come in, my good and faithful servant. We have prepared a place for you here in heaven. We prepared mansions for you. And beloved, that is the word that you want to hear. So in James 2:14, the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And so I'm going to stop right there and say, every single day here in Kenya, we deal face up with this scripture. This isn't a remote scripture for us. This isn't a hypothetical for us. Every single day we deal with people who come to us. They need food, they need clothing, they need shelter, they need some kind of work. Every single day, this is a challenge for our ministry, and we can't run and hide from it. We can't close the door of the church or the pastor's office and hide from this. This is our mission. This is our charge, one of the many that God has given us here in Kenya. And so we understand that it does not profit those people to send them away and say, well, be blessed, be warm, be fed, all of this in the name of Jesus. Our mission and our goal here is to try to give those people a hand up and to help them. And if they need food, give them food. If they need shelter, help them find shelter. If they need clothing, help them find clothing. Because James says, If you just say to them, depart in peace, be warmed, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit them? It doesn't profit them at all. And so there's many, many people, not just here in Kenya, but all over Africa, and even some people in the USA who need help. They need clothing, they need food, they need shelter. This is the church's job. This isn't the government's job, although the government has taken it over. But this is the church's job, to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to help people who are in need. So I encourage you to open your eyes, look around, see who needs something in your neighborhood, see who needs something in your town or in your state, in your county, and try to help them. That's the start of a ministry right there. That is God's plan for your life. That is the way you profit those people who need help. So verse 17 in chapter 2. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let that sink in, brothers and sisters. Let that sink in. If you have faith and you do not have works, your faith is dead. And so it's not God's plan for you to just sit in the church week after week, month after month, year after year, and do nothing with your faith. Get started doing something to bring glory and honor to God through your life. Get started, look around, and God will show you what needs to be done. You don't want to stand in front of Jesus and have him say, your faith was dead, you didn't do anything with it, you never planted that mustard seed, and so you never grew your faith. That is not what you want to hear. You want to hear, come in, my good and faithful servant. And so in verse 18, James goes on, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so you can show people your faith by your works. You don't have to boast about how faithful you are. Just let them see your works. When people come over to Kenya, I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you a fact, and they see the children's home, the beautiful gardens and farm we have, and the church and the marketplace, all the things that God has allowed us to do and made a way for us to do. Now we're building a school. People are astounded and they say, how can this be accomplished through the work of one man? It's not me. It's the mighty God that is doing it. It's the mighty God that provides the vision. It's the mighty God who provides the provision. And so this can be your life. This can be the testimony of your life as well, that James says, I will show you my faith by my good works. You believe in verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was perfected or made perfect? And so Abraham offered up his son Isaac. Some of us would probably think that's really a cruel thing that God asked him to offer up his son. This is a picture of the cross. This is a picture of God, Father God, Jehovah God, offering up his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for all mankind, to shed his blood for the sins of all mankind. And so we have an Old Testament type and shadow and picture of this. And Abraham believed that God would provide the sacrifice. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac up in resurrection if he had to go through with killing his son Isaac. Abraham believed, the Bible says, and it was credited to him for righteousness. That's another way of saying salvation was given to Abraham because he believed. Because he believed in the Lord God Almighty, it was credited to him for righteousness. That is an accounting term, and it was credited to him in the books of life in heaven. God credited to Abraham righteousness, or in other words, he gave him salvation because he believed in God. verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Well, beloved, I hope you can be called the friend of God. That is God's plan for your life. God can call you friend. He can write your name in that Lamb's Book of Life because you believe, and that is God's plan for your life this day. If you're not saved, get saved, believe, pray for revelation, pray for God to deal with your stubborn heart, pray for God to humble you, that you can say, yes, the Lord, yes, Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Humble yourself and receive that. Humble yourself. Get in a Bible-believing church. Humble yourself. Start asking God to show you what you can do for the kingdom. Verse 24, James wraps this up. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Well, I'm going to bring this down to a personal level here in the last few minutes. What can you do then to activate your faith? How can you start if you don't have anything going in terms of works to add to your faith? How can you get something going? Well, I'm going to turn back to Acts chapter 13, and this is the pattern for you to get something going in your life. Acts chapter 13, written by Luke, and this talks about the Apostle Paul as well. How did Apostle Paul get something going in his life and ended up writing 13 books of the New Testament? Probably the most influential evangelist, the most influential teacher and apostle in the church history. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said to them, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And so I'm going to stop here and say, this is the template, the pattern for you to get started doing something with your faith. This is the pattern and a template. You notice they were praying and fasting. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so there was this group of men, came from many different backgrounds, many different places, and they were praying, they were fasting, they were worshiping and ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to all of them so that they were in unison. The Holy Spirit spoke to them so they all understood that this is what God wanted them to do. The Holy Spirit said, separate for me two of these men, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them to do. And so this is the pattern for you. If you don't know where to start and you don't know which way to go, there's a thousand different ways to go from where you're sitting today. There's a million different ways to do things from where you're sitting today. You pray and you fast and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and He will give you direction, because the Holy Spirit knows the truth in all things. The Holy Spirit knows what Almighty God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit knows which country or which city, which village, which family, which person He wants to send you to. And so the Holy Spirit will give you the truth in all things. And so you can know then that you're on the path that God has laid out for you. And the Bible says in Proverbs, He says, through the counsel of many, the Lord's plans are established. Well, here we have the counsel of many, a group of men together, praying together, fasting, ministering to God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them just as they expected the Holy Spirit to speak to them, and said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And then verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Well, they're on their way. I remember the first time I went on a mission trip to Mexico, raised $300 or $400, went with a group of people, and we set out in the van, and we went down to the border of Mexico, on into El Paso, on into Juarez, and we built a house for people, and I just felt like I was walking in the glory of God. All that time we were in Mexico, all that time we were on the trip, made several trips after that to Mexico to build houses. That was the start of my missionary calling. That was the start of my missionary journeys. And just like the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, or Saul as he was called then, and Barnabas, they set out and they went to Cilicia, and then they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in a synagogue. So God sent them out to preach. They were obedient. When the Holy Spirit said go, they were obedient. And so now you have 13 books of the New Testament written by Saul, the Apostle Paul, and it all started with that little prayer meeting there at Antioch. So today I want to encourage you, set aside some time to pray and fast. If you don't know which way to go, if you have this burning desire, you have something bundled up inside of you, and you know God wants to move you, you know God wants to send you, pray and fast. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will confirm it through other people, through the counsel of many. The Lord's plans are established. Then get started. Get over your fear. Get over your pride. Get started doing the works, putting your faith to work to do the works that God has prepared for you beforehand, and you will be bringing glory and honor to Almighty God and to Jesus Christ in your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. We invite you to come alongside this ministry. You can contact us at Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Go to PayPal at paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can also go to GatherTheOutcast.com. Use your debit card, GatherTheOutcast.com. Click on Donate. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/JimRowe, and you can then partner with us. Thank you for doing that today. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.